May it please the Court, my name is Lawrence Kaplan, and I'm attorney for Kinstra Precast, LLC. I think this is a slightly unusual case. Maybe all counsels say that. We have a situation where a company by the name of Illini Concrete went out of business and sold its assets to another existing company called Kinstra Precast. Both Illini and Kinstra had individual collective bargaining agreements with the same local 50 of the Teamsters Union in Southern Illinois. Both contracts have broad arbitration clauses covering all of the of just a broad arbitration in both contracts. There's been several issues raised in this case. One, briefly, I'll go over is the question of whether this court has jurisdiction to hear this appeal, which of the denial or the denial of the request to stay and go to arbitration. I believe under the Supreme Court case of Circuit City versus St. Clair Adams, under the Federal Arbitration Act, you do have jurisdiction to hear this because of the fact that these individuals were not directly employed in interstate commerce. The other situation is what we have here is the question of whether or not this is appropriately a case for arbitration under the Illini contract. Kinstra was sued by Local 50. Kinstra brought in Illini as a third-party defendant. Illini asked for arbitration. Kinstra consented to tripartite arbitration. The district court its position was that it and only it had the right to determine that that Kinstra was or was not an alter ego of Illini before this case could go further. I don't think anybody disputes the fact that if that decision were made by the district court, that there would be arbitration under the Illini contract. Our position is that under decisions of this court and under the limitations of Section 301 of the Taft-Hartley Act, it's inappropriate for the judge to retain jurisdiction to make a determination of the alter ego status.
Okay, let's just go through this slowly. Kinstra argues that it has conceded to arbitration.
Yes.
So that would mean that there's no threshold issue to be decided by the court.
I agree.
But Kinstra has not conceded that it is the alter ego of Illini.
That's correct.
Absent that concession, the issue as to whether the CBA even applies to it is still an open one, is it not?
That's correct, but I think under the Buckeye case, the Supreme Court case, Buckeye check cashing, if you have a valid arbitration clause, then the arbitrator would have the jurisdiction to determine whether or not, in fact, Kinstra was the alter ego of Illini.
No, it's one that has to be decided by the court.
Well, I guess in this respect, I would say this. I'm not certain that Section 301 of the Taft-Hartley Act gives the court the jurisdiction to make the determination as to whether or not another party is an alter ego.
But it seems to me that instead of conceding to arbitrate the underlying issues of the CBA, that Kinstra is simply trying to concede to arbitrate only the alter ego issue.
Not at all.
And that's not an issue that's properly within the scope of arbitration.
Well, I guess that's a disagreement. I disagree with the court. I think that issue, let's come back to the basic issue as to whether, or at least one of the issues that I see, which is whether or not this court has jurisdiction to make the alter ego determination. That is, the district court has that jurisdiction. Section 301 talks about suits based on violations of a collective bargaining agreement or of an employment agreement. This is not talking about a violation of an employment agreement. This is going outside of the collective bargaining agreement, asking the court to, in effect, give a declaratory judgment that this other non-party is, in fact, bound to this collective bargaining agreement, a non-party.
Arbitration is proper for all disputes as to meaning, the application, or the observation of any provisions of the of the CBA. But what provisions of the CBA are at issue for the alter ego issue? I mean, isn't it instead a threshold issue as to whether Keenstra, as a third party, can even be bound by the CBA? And that is an issue, it seems to me, for courts to decide.
Well, as I said, our position is that an arbitrator, since both of the companies have arbitration procedures, both with the same union, that question can be determined by the arbitrator. And it's not the same thing as a question determining arbitrability.
The alter ego issue doesn't concern the provisions of the CBA, does it? It's a gateway issue that determines whether the CBA even applies to Keenstra, isn't it?
Gateway issue, I think that it's a question of whether or not the Illini contract and the Keenstra contract apply to this situation, and whether or not Keenstra is subject. This court has a decision in Hughes.
No, let's not talk about decisions for a minute. It doesn't involve the interpretation or the application of the terms of the CBA. So how can it be an issue for the arbitrator? That's the bottom line.
Well, I guess the question is whether or not it was contemplated by the parties, and the actions of the parties were contemplated under the collective bargaining agreement.
That's what we're going to find out. If Keenstra is determined to be the alter ego of Illini, then the parties can proceed to arbitration to determine whether Keenstra has violated the terms of the CBA. I mean, you could concede, I guess, that you are, the alter ego of Illini and proceed directly to arbitration, but you certainly haven't evinced any desire to make that concession.
Let me move on to one other point. I understand your Your Honor's part. It seems to me that...
No answer? Okay.
Well, I let's just say that I don't agree with what the court has stated, but nonetheless, I respect the decision of the court.
You have to give me a reason for not agreeing. You can't just stand here and say, I don't agree with you.
Well...
Unless that's what you want to do.
I think under a broad arbitration provision, which everybody agrees is valid, and under an existing collective bargaining agreement, which everybody agrees is valid, that is the Illini contract, Illini still is extant, that I believe that the party has to go through the Illini contract first, under the Illini contract. And if he does that, they're under the arbitration clause. The arbitrator would have the authority to make that decision. Now, sent to arbitration, it seems to me, takes away the question of the jurisdiction, the threshold issue. I understand whether or not the party may be a court's decision. But nonetheless, I think when you have the consent to arbitration by Keenstra, then you're put in the position where the parties agree that all of this entire matter can be arbitrated, and you get over that threshold issue. I'm going to cede my time now to counsel for Illini.
Hi, Mr. Sarsfeld.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Tim Sarsfeld. I'm with Thompson Coburn LLP out of St. Louis, Missouri, and I represent Illini Concrete, Inc. We believe that the trial court erred and that this matter should be...
Your voice a
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We believe the trial court erred and this matter should be sent to arbitration. We do not believe that this is a threshold issue for the court to decide. The collective bargaining agreement specifically provides that the application of the contract is a decision for the arbitrator to decide. That's what this case
is
all about.
So you're interpreting the word application to mean to whom does this agreement apply?
Yes, Your Honor.
Has there been any court that has ever interpreted a comparable provision in that manner?
I don't know that this type of case has ever come up before, Your Honor, but it seems to me that word just means what it means. Application. Does this contract apply or not?
It means, to me it means, and maybe I'm wrong, but I want to hear you out. It means, given the provisions of these this contract and these factual circumstances, how do these provisions apply to these factual circumstances in a context where it's conceded that everybody is bound by the contract?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
I think that would run to whether the contract is being observed or not, or whether the contract has been breached or not. But application, I mean, I think if you just looked up the word application in the dictionary, that application would mean, does it apply to this dispute or does it not? And I think the important thing is to remember that federal labor policy favors arbitration. And matters should be sent to arbitration unless the court can say with positive assurance, that the matter is not arbitrable. And when you have a word like application, then I don't believe this court can say with positive assurance that the word application doesn't mean, as I'm suggesting, that it means does the contract apply or not?
Let's assume a situation, and this would probably be the normal situation, where the two sides are reversed, and the union wants this issue to be decided by the arbitrator, and the third party, or the alleged third party, doesn't. Would the same result obtain in that situation?
I will concede, Your Honor, that if Kinstra took the position that, no, we want a federal judge to decide this matter, they could stand on that basis. On the other hand...
So the contract means, the meaning of the contract depends upon who wants what under the contract?
No, I think it just matters to different people's rights. Let's put it, I think
so let's just take my hypothetical.
Yes.
According to you, the correct disposition of that would be that the application of the contract to Kinstra would be decided by an arbitrator, even if Kinstra wanted it decided by a court.
No, I think I don't agree with that, Your Honor.
And so then you're saying the meaning of the contract depends upon who wants what?
No, Your Honor. Let me back up here for a second. Arbitration is a matter of consent. That part is true. You have to consent to arbitration, and the important thing here is that Kinstra has, in fact, conceded or consented to arbitration. And what is not in dispute is that Local 50 and Illini have a collective bargaining agreement with an arbitration clause. What's not in dispute is the theory of the union's case or Local 50's case is... Oh, I'm out of time. I'm sorry.
No, we finish our sentences and our thoughts in this very democratic courtroom.
Thank you, Your Honor. Local 50's theory is that...
Not in the Eighth Circuit anymore. You're in the loving seventh.
Thank you, ma'am. The Illini, the locals' whole theory of the case is that we're one in the same. That Larry and I are the same people, or Illini and Kinstra are the same people. And so with that in mind, given the fact that you have to be able to say with positive assurance that this is not an arbitrable dispute, this matter should go to arbitration. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Mr. McLaughlin.
May it please the Court. My name is Dan McLaughlin, and I'm the attorney for International Brotherhood of Teamsters, Local Union Number 50, and I'm with the law firm Spector Wolf in Missouri, Spector Wolf McLaughlin in St. Louis, Missouri.
And you're going to have to keep your voice up, too.
I apologize. I'd first like to address the issue of jurisdiction to this court in terms of the FAA. When the union filed its brief, I was unaware of any Seventh Circuit rulings with regards to the application of the FAA as it pertained to Section 301 cases. When we received the appellant's reply brief, we were certainly made aware of the Priner case that this court reasoned. And I looked at other cases such as Martin, Briggs & Stratton, Cleveland, Sherwood, and I see nothing in those cases that would make this case at hand be one that I would ask you to revisit the Petro decision. So the union will withdraw its claim on jurisdiction. But that does leave the matter of whether or not the district court erred in denying parties the appellant's motions to compel arbitration.
Can I raise another jurisdictional issue?
Yes.
Let's assume that the union filed a complaint that sought only a declaration that Keenstra was the alter ego of Illini Concrete. Would the district court have had subject matter jurisdiction over that claim?
Well, Your Honor, the case that was raised by the appellant in their brief with regards to that very question was Teamsters National Committee versus Troffa, which this court decided. That court reasoned that jurisdiction is limited under Section 301 to suits for violation of collective bargaining agreements. They relied upon the Textron court there. The Textron court, still acknowledging and expressing that limitation, said that there's still this idea that jurisdiction is expanded as long as the complaint is seeking as its purpose the goals of 301. This court recognized in Trofka that same expansion and recognized that the goals and purposes of 301, that federal common law should be used so long as the underlying complaint is being sought after to achieve those purposes and goals. That's exactly what we're doing here in this case. We allege that there's a violation of a collective bargaining agreement. We believe there's a violation of a collective bargaining agreement.
I kind of lost you. Is yes or no? If the union's complaint simply asked for a declaration that Keenstra was an alter ego of Illini, would there be federal subject matter jurisdiction?
We believe there'd still be jurisdiction under Section 301, yes.
All right.
Is it your contention that, let me think, that the alter ego issue is always an issue for the court?
Well, there's case law that says otherwise. In those particular cases, the facts of the case render the decision of the court to say that the alter ego question is a question for the arbitrator. One of those cases was a case cited by the appellants, and that was Heat and Frost, International, I think it's International Association of Heat and Frost Workers v. The name of the case escapes me, I apologize, Absolute Environment. That case reasoned that the issue of whether or not an alter ego is bound to an arbitration said that that's a matter for the courts to decide. That's a threshold issue, a gateway issue, that it's a matter for the courts to decide because we cannot be deemed to compel someone to arbitration if they have not reached an agreement to or consented to that arbitration.
So would it be different if the CBA had a provision that explicitly addressing when third parties can be bound by the agreement? Would it be different then?
I think absolutely, and I think that's what the Southern District of New York said in A&M. Southern District of New York said that a third party, it was a little bit different from this situation. You actually had a signatory contractor who brought suit against a project manager who in turn brought suit against a outside project manager. The court in that case said that you cannot, I back up. I'm on to the Hughes case. I apologize. But that is the Hughes case in general. And what the court said there, this court, it said that the difference in that agreement was the non-signatory was contemplated and was actually discussed in the underlying agreement. Here, as Judge Murphy ruled in the district court, there's no implication at all of any successors. There's no language that says a successor shall be bound by this agreement, or even language that says that the predecessor has to make, as a condition of the sale, the successor's acceptance of that agreement. So there's no contemplation. So there lies the threshold question back to, is there an agreement to arbitrate the dispute? The threshold question is set forth by the Supreme Court in cases like Holcim, John Wiley and Sons, which was relied upon by the district court, John Wiley and Sons, and the Steelworkers Trilogy, is that whether or not a party is obligated to arbitrate depends upon their consent to arbitrate. We believe that that's a threshold question for the court to decide. While that question hasn't been considered by this court, it has been considered by other courts. The Southern District of New York, in the A&M case, they considered it. In the A&M case, the facts were somewhat different. but it didn't change the principles set forth by the court that that just because a party consents to the arbitration doesn't mean that the party that did not consent to the arbitration and that is trying to say, wait a minute, court, you can't consent to one provision of the contract without consenting to the entire contract as a whole. And that's the position of the union, that for in order for Kinstra to say that we consent to the arbitration provision of the Illini CBA, to which we were not contemplated, we have to consent to the whole agreement. If the union, if Kinstra says they consent to the whole agreement, the union would be in favor of it. The union would say, fine, if you consent that you are the alter ego and that you are bound by all the terms and conditions of that agreement, then we'll submit this matter to arbitration to determine whether there have been any violations of the contract.
Thank you very much.
I have one.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Why does the union want to go after Kinstra under the Illini CBA as opposed to the Kinstra CBA?
Well, Your Honor, that's a very, very good question. The Kinstra CBA covers different types of work and different types of employees. Yes, it's an agreement with Teamsters Local 50, but it's not for the same type of agreement. The Illini CBA is a ready-mix drivers agreement. There's not a ready-mix association of drivers in the Southern District of Illinois, but there are many contractors that are considered ready-mix drivers, and they all have similar agreements that reference specifically ready-mix drivers, what ready-mix drivers can do, the use of ready-mix drivers. The agreement that Kinstra Precast has with Teamsters Local 50 is a hauling agreement. It's for the hauling of equipment back and forth, the hauling of precast concrete. So it's not the same agreement, and it doesn't cover the same type of employees. Therefore, if they were doing that type of work, they would have to become signatory to essentially the ready-mix agreement.
In your experience, is it the union that usually wants to be in front of the arbitrator and the employer who usually wants to be in front of the judge?
I can honestly say this is the first time I've been faced with this issue. Typically, the union likes to arbitrate issues of discharge or issues of contract interpretation because certainly their rules of evidence are different, and it's to get into an arbitrator, you can get more in front of it. Quite frankly, that's one of the reasons why we want to be in court on this matter. We think that there has to be a determination of the alter ego status before there can be a determination if the contract has been violated. We feel that the discovery process, things of that nature, which is not readily available to us under the same terms in arbitration, would be much more beneficial to us in district court.
Thank you.
Let me point out two very quick matters. The Kinstra agreement, which is in the pleadings, covers all of its employees. It doesn't, even though individual types and different types of employees are spelled out, it does cover all employees. The Illini contract provides that it applies to the parties to the contract and their successors. So you do have the successor clause in the very preamble of the Illini contract. You have a situation here where the union has, in various situations, in its brief to the Southern Circuit, denied that, in fact, that Kinstra is party to the collective bargaining agreement. If it's not a party to the collective bargaining agreement, then it can't be an alter ego to Kinstra cannot be an alter ego to Illini. Excuse me. One moment.
Take your time.
Local 50 says on page 18 of its response, as determined by the district court, the parties to the CBA cannot prospectively decide that a third party will be bound to the CBA. He says, as previously stated in the instant matter, the district court was correct in deciding the question of arbitrability and determining that Kinstra was not contemplated as a party to nor bound by the Illini CBA. At page 27, he says, the very basis of the local complaint against Kinstra
is a, missing some words, is a declaratory judgment that Kinstra itself is an alter ego and bound by the CBA, not that it violated some provision of the agreement that it was contemplated to be a party. I think those are all admissions, judicial admissions, to the fact that he has said over and over again that Kinstra is not a party to the Illini contract, and he's only seeking a declaratory judgment as was asked by the court. And I don't think a declaratory judgment of that is appropriately before the court. It is appropriately before the National Labor Relations Board. So if, in fact, there is a violation or alleged violation, the Labor Board, the NLRB, has jurisdiction to make that determination. But I don't think under 301 you do have that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Case will be taken under advisement.